Hawaii has a large and growing slam poetry scene, and poet Jesse Lipman can take some of that credit. He's one of the organizers of the New School, Old School, Too Cool for School Poetry Slam, an upcoming intergenerational poetry slam competition. He spoke with Chris Vandercook last week about his efforts to bring together young talent and educators.
Well, slam poetry is based on spoken word poetry, which is poetry that's meant to be heard, mm-hmm. meant to be listened to, meant to engage people, kind of grew out of a couple different things that were happening, specifically the bar scene in Chicago, mm-hmm. where you had a lot of just working class people who did poetry, but yeah. they weren't necessarily doing it for an audience of poets or people who were in college who mm-hmm. wanted to listen to that kind of poetry. It had to be people who were drinking in a bar, and you could shut them up enough to pay attention to the poem you were doing. So it kind of came out of that. You also had the spoken word tradition that was getting popular in the black community, which came out of that African griot tradition where mm-hmm. you're kind of telling stories which are entertaining but also informing people and passing on knowledge and things like that. So you had those two things kind of fusing, and you had people looking for a way to kind of tell stories that you didn't have a chance to tell maybe in society. Mm-hmm. And that came together in SLAM, and since then it's evolved to be a little bit of a younger art form. So you have a lot of young people who are telling stories, dealing with trauma, dealing with pain, dealing with identity, and using poetry to do it. But then you still have these, you know, unexpected things that come into poems. You still have the entertaining stuff, the body stuff, you yeah. know, the loud, the funny. So it's really poetry that's good to be heard, to be listened to, not your boring kind of sit-down poetry.
I would think, I mean, most poets would tell you that all poetry is meant to be heard.
Right.
You know, that it's that it doesn't exist entirely on a printed page.
Right.
That has really got to be, you know, read out loud, recited out loud.
Yeah. Your slam poets will really take time to think about the performance aspect of it, to rehearse their work. Sometimes they'll do poems with other poets, so mm-hmm. they'll play off each other.
Oh, boy.
Not necessarily music, but musicality, theatrical things, a little bit of that play or speech and debate type of performance style will come into slam, so you can use your body, your energy, that stage, not just to read off a paper, but to engage the audience.
You referred earlier to a tradition in the 60s in the black community, and mm-hmm. I'm thinking of The Last Poets.
Right, right.
Gil Scott Heron.
Exactly, yeah.
Topical poetry, the antecedents of rap, really.
Right, right. So, you know, my favorite slam poet growing up, or spoken word poet growing up, was Etheridge Knight. Etheridge Knight is a little bit forgotten, but was one of the main poets of that era, and he was a friend of my family. My father's a poet, mm-hmm. and actually it was his death that kind of spurred me to start writing poetry. My dad gave me a call. I was going through some things. I was about 20 years old. He told me Etheridge mm-hmm. had died, and in that moment I just picked up a pen and started writing. I felt a little of his spirit kind of come into me and started to remember all that poetry I'd been hearing but not writing as a child.
A lot of times when you have a deeply felt emotion that may be difficult to explain, a poem might be your best bet at explaining it.
Right,
do
right.
You think?
I think so. You know, I give you an example. I was thinking about coming here and talking to you, and I wrote something. So the origin of the word conversation is the act of living with, to keep company with. We don't converse to sound smart or to listen to the echo of our words. We have conversation to give life to this moment between us, not to exchange money for a product, but to produce value you can't pocket. Poetry is the projection of this conversation mindset, where an audience of words become the living stage we keep company with. So poetry is kind of something that helps us have this conversation mm-hmm. a little mm-hmm. bit different way, you know.
Maybe in a more, maybe with language more condensed than
right.
informal conversational language.
Right. A little more attention to what you're doing, carving up your language a little bit so you can play with rhythm of sound, repetition of noise, things like that. You can get a little bit metaphorical but come back to a theme.
Part of it is just the love of the sound of language, isn't
right,
it?
Right, right. And poetry is one of the oldest art forms, and every culture has their own. We're here in Hawaii where there's a really deep poetic tradition,
sure.
which you might not call spoken word, but is very similar, you know, to
mele.
Doing the same types of things. Yeah, you're doing chants or you're doing mele and repeating stories that you want that next generation to know
mm-hmm.
or ways to take one reality and think about it a little different to kind of expand your mind.
Well, you know, Homer was a poet, right?
Right.
Yeah, a lot of the great story, you know, storytelling and poetry didn't used to have that artificial separation it seems to have.
Right.
Now.
Yeah, yeah.
How to get going in Hawaii?
There's always been poetry here. I have a reputation for it, but, you know, there was plenty of people who preceded me. I moved here in 98, and I was living in Kapahulu, and there was one regular open mic on the island, and it happened to be right down the street, Kilohana Square, a place called Coffee Haven, which I don't believe is there anymore. Mm-hmm. And I started going there, and around the same time, I started to get to know some of the older generation of spoken word poets here in Hawaii, Imai Kalani Kelehele, Joe Balaz, Richard Hamasaki, and I got to know some of these folks and listening to what they were doing, getting some influence from them. And around that time, some folks came to me and said, we want to do a slam. Can you do a slam? So I started organizing a slam. We started doing different events. I have a background in organizing poetry. And within a couple years, this vibrancy of the spoken word slam thing was growing, and other poets and other people were getting involved. The poet Ke Aloha, who is the poet laureate of Hawaii right now and the host of Hawaii Slam, mm-hmm. Performed for the first time in Hawaii at one of those events. And within a few years, the Hawaii Slam was the largest slam in the world.
Wow.
The U Speaks Hawaii team went and won a national championship. Jamaica Osorio performed at the White House. Kathy Jetno Kirchner, who was one of the poets of that scene, actually performed for the United Nations a couple years ago. She did a poem about climate change and global warming. Got a standing ovation. It was the first standing ovation in front of the General Assembly of the United Nations since Nelson Mandela was there in the 1990s.
Really?
So that was a Hawaii spoken word poet who came up in the slam scene. So we have a lot of rich history in it. But over the last couple years, we're thinking, there's not a lot going on. We got to do some new stuff. There's not as many workshops for kids, things yeah. like that. So a group of us, we're calling ourselves older poets, that's relative, but folks 30s, 40s, 50s, you know,
right.
we got together and we started coordinating some new events, making sure that every week there was something for people to come out to. And it didn't have to be a slam. It might be a open mic. It might be a workshop. But there was something open to the community for people to do.
Do young people who might not respond much to, you know, Wordsworth or Yeats respond in a different way to slam poetry?
I think they do. I was just at a poetry slam a couple weeks ago at Waipahu High School, and there's, you know, a whole room full of elementary to high school kids. They're doing slam poetry and really into it. And one of the coolest things about it was the way they were really supporting each other and listening to each other and, you know, taking that space to be vulnerable in front of their peers, which is not easy to do as a teenager. Yeah,
is it the opportunity to bare your soul, to communicate? What do you think is the source of the attraction?
I think that makes people come a little closer together. You know, the best poems, you have to open up a little bit.
Right.
There's also humor in it. There's some rhythm. There's time limits on slam poems, so you're not, if somebody's not that good, you know, 2 or 3 minutes later, they'll be done, and there'll be
yeah.
another poet coming up.
Yeah. So it kind of has an audience specific to itself.
Yeah, there is a subculture that has its own audience, but one of the cool things is people can bring friends and they'll be think, I don't want to go to this, and they'll come up afterwards and they'll talk to us. That was really cool. I really enjoyed that. So it's able to bridge the gap between people who are into slam or poetry and people who wouldn't think about it at all but come to an event and spend a couple hours and really enjoy it.
Do you see this tradition taking hold for a future generation?
I'm sure it will be around. It's always been here in some form. I mean, slam may change a little bit. Story slams are really popular now where people are doing short stories mm-hmm. in kind of a slam format and taking that twist on it. So one form or another, yeah.
Jesse Lippman is a poet, writer, and community chef who's organized poetry events in Honolulu for the past 20 years. The New School, Old School, Too Cool for School event happens Saturday, May 26th at the Arts at Mark's Garage in downtown Honolulu.